Hey, everybody. Tan the Charlie Kirk Show. George McGovern. How much do you know about George McGovern? Well, we talk about Mr. McGovern and Eagleton. What a fun-sounding name. You're going to learn a little history here. Then Michael Whatley joins the program to discuss how the RNC is cleaning up voter rolls. Great conversation. Become a member today. It's members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com to get engaged and get involved and become a member and support our show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. This is not the vice presidential rollout that the Kamala Harris campaign was hoping for. They thought they were going for the safe pick, the boring Midwesterner, the guy that has been thoroughly vetted. Everyone knew about him. He was folksy. He hunted pheasants. He wore camouflage. He had an orange hunting vest. He knew how to use an over-under. He's the governor of Minnesota, former teacher, born in Nebraska, fatherly, folksy. All of the drama is kind of put aside. But of course, this has not been a smooth rollout. This has been one of the rockiest vice presidential selections in American history. Mr. Walz outright lied about his military service. He ditched his National Guard unit as they were deployed to Iraq. After he ditched them, he lied about it and said that he was in theaters of conflict. He said that he carried weapons of war in war. That's a quote. Tim Walz repeatedly would make it seem as if he was a Navy SEAL in the harshest of combat, that he was a frontline fighter in the Iraq or Afghanistan war. Now, we know, thanks to very courageous people, some of whom have come on this program, and others who have spoken out, that Tim Walz is an example of stolen valor. That we now have piece of evidence after piece of evidence that Tim Walz might actually be guilty of the Stolen Valor Act. The entire Kamala Harris campaign is now being put in suspense. What they thought was going to be a smooth and boring rollout, yesterday over 500,000 people took to social media and talked about stolen valor. There is not a single post on social media that Tim Walz does or Kamala Harris does that does not mention about how Tim Walz has outright lied, misrepresented, and deceived the country about his military service. Now, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz refused to take questions. It has been 18 days since she has become the presumptive nominee, and she refuses to even take a single question from reporters. Will they ever? Who knows? But going back into 1972, very well might be where Tim Walz is headed. 1972, there was a remarkable upset in the Democrat Party. A South Dakota senator launched a long-shot bid to become the Democrat nominee for president. It was a man by the name of George McGovern. George McGovern was known for being open and being candid. He had a young staff that pulled off the miracle in Miami. The miracle in Miami was the 1972 convention where the Democrat Party met, and George McGovern accepted the nomination. Now, back in those days, the vice president was selected right there at the convention, similar to how kind of President Trump did it with J.D. Vance. George McGovern was an idealist, and he saw in a young, upstart fellow senator, Thomas Eagleton, great promise, great talent. Now, Thomas Eagleton was not thoroughly vetted. Thomas Eagleton and George McGovern, in the late nights of the Miami Convention, accepted the nomination. However, it ended up being 18 days of complete crisis. Now, you have to admit, Eagleton is just a great name. That was probably the thought process. Who could vote against McGovern Eagleton? That is kind of a good... It's a lot better than Harris Walls. McGovern Eagleton, that's a powerful ticket. Well, it turns out that Tom Eagleton, 42 years old at the time, had been hospitalized 3 times for mental illness. All of a sudden, this disclosure comes to the surface, and it threatened to wreck the McGovern candidacy, even before the presidential candidate hit the campaign trail against Richard Nixon. They said it was depression, but it was full mental breakdowns. Now, mind you, in today's time, I don't think that this would be a campaign breaker. In fact, I think this would make you increase in the polls in 2024. But back in the country that was 1972, getting shock therapy for full mental breakdowns used to be a campaign ender. Now, you would win California and New York by even bigger margins, with half the country, unfortunately, basically on antidepressants and Zoloft, and the sympathy vote would go up. But in 1972, that was a campaign ender. Time magazine reports, the debacle cast doubts in every direction. McGovern, who has premised his campaign on candor and openness, angled and maneuvered his judgment open to question. His brilliant young staff, which had brought off a modern political miracle in delivering him the nomination, proved to have stumbled badly in processing Eagleton's selection. Eagleton emerged as either naive or overambitious and dishonest in not telling McGovern about his past illness. This was the beginning of the end of the McGovern campaign. The 1972 election ended up being one of the most lopsided elections in American history. Richard Nixon won 60% of the popular vote. He won every single vote, every single electoral vote except Washington, D.C. and Massachusetts. The final electoral count was 520 electoral votes for Richard Nixon and 17 for George McGovern. Now, interestingly, George McGovern then put Sergeant Shriver, who ended up being the U.S. ambassador to France, as a replacement. No one remembers Sergeant Shriver, but people do remember Mr. Eagleton. And similar to Eagleton, how that was a heaviness and a weight on the McGovern campaign, it is eerily similar to what we are seeing with Tim Walz. Not only Tim Walz with a stolen valor, but going 96 in a 55 mile an hour zone, which he lied about. This is becoming a serious political liability for the Harris campaign. In Pennsylvania alone, there are 800,000 veterans, every single one of them and their family and their friends, so totaling well over 1.5 million combined reach, do not look favorably on veterans who lie about their service, and especially who lie about their service for political opportunity. And Tim Walz has said repeatedly, "Well, I was frontline deployed in Iraq." That is a lie. Not only that, he ditched his unit to go run for Congress. The people that served alongside of him are going out on cable news now and our program saying that this is a lot darker than you even realize. The Eagleton story of 1972 was the beginning of the end of the George McGovern campaign. And similar to Kamala Harris, we did not know if George McGovern was going to be the nominee up until the late hours of Miami. It was a late campaign, a little bit of rushed, people were not thoroughly vetted. Was Tim Walz thoroughly vetted about his military service? They just assumed that this guy is a governor and he's been a congressman. Everything's been out in the open, and they are wrong about that because presidential politics is a lot different. It's a different type of game on the presidential level than it is running for the governor of Minnesota. And they buried it, and they are ignoring it, and the story is getting worse, not better. The front page of the Washington Post says looming questions around Tim Walz' military service, and the story is brutal. New York Times is starting to report it. CNN has reported. In fact, let me play you this CNN tape. It was in the cold open where they said there is no evidence whatsoever, no evidence that Tim Walz has served in a military theater. None. Let's play cut 105.
Walz did make a comment speaking to a group. He's done it a couple of times where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, There is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Waltz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false.
Similar to Tom Eagleton, it's fair to say the walls are closing in. Just a little bit more on the Eagleton story. The Eagleton story was a campaign breaker back in 1972. The question is, would walls being pulled before the DNC in Chicago be a campaign breaker in 2024? And my cynical take is they pulled Biden and no one seemed to care. Trump got shot and people aren't talking about it. These news cycles live and die quicker than any time in American history because the media has such power over what people need to talk about and think about. Now, mind you, in 1972, McGovern came out with a quote and he said, "I am behind Eagleton 1,000% when it came out that he was getting shock therapy and that he was, you know, had some serious mental problems. Will Kamala Harris take a single question about Tim Walz? Will Tim Walz take a single question about his stolen valor?" And just so we are clear, the stolen valor is not just a political attack line. This is a serious question of character. The Democrats always like to make it seem like, you know, character is on the ballot. Decency is on the ballot. Trump versus Harris is a question of, do we want our kids to be proud of who is president? Do we want to have, you know, do we want to be proud of who is running the country? You want to have somebody become vice president who potentially committed a federal crime? Potentially committed a federal crime of stolen valor, the Stolen Valor Act? And, I mean, I am not a veteran, I never served. And so I am, there's a lot of distance between me and the heroism of vets. And I would never misrepresent myself. Oh, yeah, I'm denying Dick Blumenthal type thing or John Kerry. But for the veterans that I know and on our team that do such a great job, they find this sort of activity from Tim Walz and people like him to be repulsive, which is why we have a federal law called the Stolen Valor Act, to try to have some sort of punishment of people that lie about their service. So let me make sure I understand this. Grandmas that went into the Capitol building and were praying go to jail, Michigan alternate electors go to jail. What if this story was about J.D. Vance? Oh, I mean, this would be a campaign breaker through and through. CNN front page here. Trump campaign, this is pure Soviet stuff. Trump campaign cranked up pressure on Harris to do a major media interview, hoping to goad her into a forum in which she's historically been more vulnerable. Oh, you got to tweet that, Blake. You have to tweet that. The sitting vice president and Democrat nominee is vulnerable if she has to take questions. Polls are typically a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. Latest CNBC poll shows that Donald Trump is up 2 on Kamala Harris in the national survey. That is not insignificant because it shows that that momentum is starting to slow down. The exact same numbers that we saw with Trump versus Biden. Yes, Kamala Harris is better able to excite parts of the Democrat base. This Tim Walz situation is offsetting any gains that she might have made with Democrat base voters, with veterans, people that care about integrity. Tim Walz is a naked opportunist who drives drunk twice over the speed limit, who does not tell the truth about his military service, all the while he is an extremist on every major issue, from tampons for boys in bathrooms to driver's license for illegals. And the latest one, it's hard to even keep track of this. He wanted free college. He wanted free college for illegal aliens. That is his position. Taxpayer funded, quote unquote, free college for foreigners that come into our country. I think it's still likely he remains as the VP candidate, but do not be surprised if they pull out Tim Walz before Chicago. If Harris says, enough of this guy. Who do we have? Maybe we want that Shapiro guy back. Hi, this is Charlie Kirk for my friends at besthotgrill.com. They make the incredible Solaire infrared grills that heat up in just 3 minutes to searing heat and make the juiciest grilled food you'll ever taste. Don't take my word for it. Try before you buy at Solaire Demo Rental Program. For only $47, you can use a Solaire infrared grill for 2 weekends and the week in between without a salesman breathing down your neck. Test its versatility with steak, chicken, fish, pork, and veggies. All the foods your family enjoys. Inspect Solaire's quality construction and experience firsthand. Solaire's hot and fast performance. At the end of the demo, just wipe it off and put it in the box for a UPS pickup. Solaire makes it easy. Then you'll receive a coupon for $47 off any new Solaire infrared grill. The Solaire demo rental program will convince you why Solaire is truly the last grill you'll ever buy. Learn more about the demo program and these amazing USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com. That is besthotgrill.com. Solaire demo rental program at besthotgrill.com. Joining us now with a very exciting story about how we're going to secure our elections is Chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley. Chairman, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time. Can you tell us about this amazing victory that happened in Nevada? You deserve credit. The RNC deserves credit. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. So welcome from Minnesota. Laura Trump and I are here to do a Protect the Vote tour stop this evening. One of the many that we've run across the country, including out there in Arizona, as well as Nevada. And one of the things that we are fighting for in every one of these battleground states is that we want states to clean up their voter rolls. It's one of the key things that we're trying to get done. We had filed a lawsuit out there along with the Nevada State Party, who have been great partners on the fight to try and get election integrity in place. And we finally got the Nevada Secretary of State to concede that they have many people on the voter rolls that should not be on the voter rolls, and they're going to take them off. This is a huge win, especially in Nevada, because they send out live ballots to everybody on the voter rolls. So if we're taking 90,000 people off that should not be on there, this really does reduce the chances for major league fraud coming up
this
in the election.
This is huge. And so, Chairman, you deserve a lot of credit. I want everyone to understand this. So what we know is happening, and I can talk more openly about this than I know, because I know you're involved in a lot of these lawsuits, is that when you have an oversupply of ballots, it allows, let's just say, treacherous activity in organizers on the Democrat Party to then go scoop up the surplus amount of ballots and then put them through the system. And those ballots are legitimate, but they're not tied with a legitimate voter. Can you go deeper into that, Chairman? Because the original sin of broken elections is voter rolls that are not fixed.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere you go, every result or every study that has been put out talks about how mail-in voting is the single largest point of failure when it comes to election integrity. So one of the things that we have always tried to do is have basic protections in place. You know, things like you've got to have witness requirements, signature requirements. We want them in a mailbox, not a drop box, and we want them in by election day. But, you know, what you're talking about here is in a universal mail state like Nevada, where everybody gets a ballot, whether they're going to vote in person and take that ballot with them or they're going to send it in through the mail. You really, truly have a danger when they are sending out, you know, the ballots to the mail. You know, we have seen story after story where an apartment would get 6, 7, 8 different ballots, where different addresses will get even dozens of different ballots that you know are not tied into it. Once it goes into the machine and it's separated from the envelope, there is literally nothing you can do to try and back that out of the system. So we also want to make sure that we have lawyers and volunteers as observers in the room whenever they're counting the ballots on these absentee or these mail-in ballots, because that way, if there is one that comes in and does not have all of the protections in place, we can object to it going into the machine in the first place.
So that's 90,000 less, let's just say, ballots that are not tied to legitimate people. So the supply of ballots goes down. Donald Trump fell 24,000 ballots short in 2020. In the Senate race in 2022, Adam Laxalt fell just a couple thousand votes short. So if we would have had these reforms a couple years ago, we might have actually picked up an extra Senate seat and could have changed the balance of power in Washington, D.C. in the 2022 midterms. What other states are you guys looking at? I know there are other pending lawsuits around this idea of fixing broken voter rolls?
Yeah, well, one of our biggest successes just came yesterday in Virginia, where Governor Youngkin put out an executive order. We've been working with him and the attorney general over there, Jason Mayorkas, for a while, that took an additional 80,000 dead people and 6,000 plus illegal immigrants off of Virginia's voter rolls. We are working similarly with a number of different states to try and clean up their rolls. And we've had to file lawsuits in a number of different states, particularly Michigan, where we are fighting a lot with the Secretary of State up there right now, just trying to make sure that they're following the laws that are on the books in Michigan.
And this is such a big deal, because if we do not take the legal steps necessary to fix our elections, we could have a repeat of just some of the frustration we've seen previously. Chairman, talk about Trump Force 47, the ground game. We're doing everything we can at Turning Point Action to deploy our ground troops, our volunteers, to get out the vote. But an important wrinkle is also poll watching. For the first time in recent memory, we're able to engage in poll watching. Describe to our audience the difference between poll watching and poll working. I think that's important. And why people should volunteer to be one or the other or both. Please describe.
Yeah, so we have launched the first ever national election integrity campaign. What we're trying to do is to recruit and train over 100,000 volunteers that we can bring in, we can train, and then we can deploy to come in either as poll workers or poll observers. In a lot of different states, you have to go through a formal poll worker process, and we've already initiated that in every single state across the country, where you are the one that is actually making the decisions on whether a ballot is going to be counted, on handing out those ballots to people, where you're the ones that are checking those voter IDs. And we absolutely want it. Every state says you've got to have parity between Republicans and Democrats on those positions. But a lot of times, Republicans, we have not been able to get enough people to apply. So we are working very aggressively to make sure we fill every slot that's available to us to have the poll workers. And then we want those poll observers. And in every battleground state, we want at least 5,000. Over the course of the country, we want over 100,000 of them to be there. This is a program that I put in place when I was the chair in North Carolina for the 2020 election cycle, where we did not have a national program in place, and it made a tremendous difference there. We did not have the types of issues that we saw in Arizona, Nevada, or Michigan, or Minnesota, or Georgia, particularly in Pennsylvania as well. So we're building up this program right now everywhere we can go. And we've got our website has been built, protectthevote.com. We want every one of your listeners to go to it and to sign up. The relationship that we've got right now with Turning Point, with other grassroots groups across the country, could not be better, because everybody understands, all of your members understand, that we cannot go through another 4 years of Democratic control. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are the most radical, dangerously radical liberal ticket that we have ever seen. And they definitely are going to do everything they can to nationalize elections, run them like California, have universal ballots, forget to clean up the voter rolls, and they're going to kick observers out of the room. So this is why it is so important for us to win, so that we can make sure that we're setting up the rules to have, you know, a fair, accurate, secure, and transparent election every time.
I think that's so important. And I want everyone to understand, there's a little bit of some people in the audience that are saying, you know, I don't like these polls. Just everyone understand, today, there's a great new polls, Trump up big in Rasmussen, Trump up in CNBC. But August was poised to be a little bit of a sugar high month for Kamala Harris, because they launched a coup against Joe Biden. But the fundamentals of this race remain unchanged. The economy is trash. The border is open. Kamala Harris is a failure. She will not take questions from the media. We still are very strong in Ohio. We're strong in your home state, North Carolina. We're strong in Iowa. We're strong in Florida. The amount of swing states has decreased, and we can emphasize our forces and our resources in Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Very important. Chairman, just you want to comment on the fact that President Trump is taking questions from the media and the Kamala Harris refuses?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a story. I mean, that she pushed Joe Biden off the stage almost 3 weeks ago, and has not had a single sit down with a reporter, has not taken any press questions whatsoever. You know, she has a very clear record over the course of you know, her time in the White House as well as her time in the Senate. So it should not be real hard for her to answer those questions. But, you know, the fact is that the president is very willing to go into any situation and talk to the press, as will J.D. Vance. I mean, you go back to even his conversation with the National Association of Black Journalists, where he flew to Chicago, took tough question after tough question after tough question. But he is going to have those conversations because he talks directly to every American voter. He talks to every American family, and he will come at it and always have his opportunities to speak directly to those voters.
So talk about the state of the race and how the fundamentals remain unchanged and how we should not grow distracted or even engage in any form of panic because of a media-induced sugar high around an artificial campaign.
Yeah, look, this race has always come down to a couple things. One, it has always come down to the fundamentals of where we're going to have this election cycle. It's always been about 7, 8, 10 states. You know, these are the 7 states that decided 2016, decided 2020. Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. We have seen that we've been able to open up the map and have conversations about Virginia and Minnesota and New Hampshire based on the polls, based on what we're seeing internally. But it really does come down to those core states as to how this is going to get elected. And then on the issue sets, right? The American voters are going to pick the issues that this election is going to run on. It's not going to be what the Democrats want to talk about or what the Republicans want to talk about. It's what the voters care about. And what do they care about right now? They care about the southern border and the invasion of 10 million illegal immigrants, the scourge of fentanyl, the scourge of migrant crime. They care about the economy. They care about inflation. They care about gas prices, grocery prices, housing prices, healthcare costs. The fact that it costs 20% more for an average family to live, and they're not making 20% more. In fact, real wages have actually gone down. And they care about our place in the world. They care about making sure that America is safe, both home and abroad. And right now, you have to go back 4 years to remember Russia was in check, China was in check, Iran was in check, our southern border was secure. And right now, the world is on fire. The Middle East is literally about to be in a major engagement across, you know, Iran and Israel. Israel being attacked by Iran for the first time ever in the history of the country. China is saber rattling. Russia has invaded Ukraine and parked a nuclear missile capable boat 90 miles off our shore in Havana. So you know, when America's weak, the world is a more dangerous place. So those three issues are really what the voters care about. And on every single one of them, in every poll, in every battleground state, Donald Trump is beating Kamala Harris.
Can you feel it now? Something even bigger is coming. Your God-given freedoms are up for the taking. Even worse, those doing the taking are the same people who've sworn to defend your freedom. They think they can violate your right to protect your own family. They think they can force their delusions onto your kids. They think they can control the media and hide the truth. But you know what they can't take away? Self-reliance and peace of mind. You got water filtration? Well, you should. A charged solar generator? You better. Emergency food on your shelf? Get it now from My Patriot Supply. Having served millions of American families, My Patriot Supply is the most trusted name in survival. And for good reason, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and save $200 on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. The price will never be this low again. It delivers over 2,000 calories every day, sealed inside practically unpierceable packaging. It lasts up to 25 years. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Did I mention it's delicious? And save $200 per kit, free shipping included. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. Chairman, let's just kind of go to the final essence here. Audience is an audience of doers. What are the websites, the calls to action for our national audience? We are trying to deploy as many people as possible. We're offering stipends and travel costs to get people to from, you know, states that might not be as competitive, but it's a national thing, to Arizona, Wisconsin. But what are the calls to action? Trump Force 47, tell the audience exactly what to do, because you're doing a great job of cleaning up the voter rolls.
Well, we really appreciate that. And I think it's really important what you're doing and what Turning Point is doing to get people out to these critical battleground states. We've got two different programs we want to get everybody to. First is Trump Force 47, as you said, and it's TrumpForce47.com. You know, when you talk about your members, when you talk about the volunteers that we have, we know they're going to vote for the president. They've got to do more. What we want them to do is go out and get 10 more people. Just go get 10 more people to commit to voting Republican in this election cycle. Of course, then we're going to ask you to do 25 or 50 or even 100. But when you sign up to be a Trump Force captain, you are committing to go out there and have those conversations with family members and friends and colleagues and coworkers, people that you know and you trust in your community, and have a conversation about how important this election cycle is. That is the cornerstone, because at the end of the day, when we get into October, there's so many TV commercials, there's so many emails, there's so many texts that come in that it's clutter, it's noise. You have to be able to cut through that. And the most important statistic in all of politics, if you have a 5-minute conversation with an undecided voter, they are 6% more likely to vote, and they are 6% more likely to vote for your candidate. Those are the conversations that our entire operation is centered on.
Well said.
And going out there and talking to your family and your friends. The second is protectthevote.com. We want to make sure that we get everybody up to sign up for this election team. It is so important nationally.
Protectthevote.com. Thank you, Chairman. Keep on cleaning up those voter rolls. It is hero's work. Well done.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Joining us now is Tommy Robinson, who can talk all about what's happening in the UK. Tommy, welcome to the program. Tommy, I've been following you for years. For whatever reason, the oligarchs of Western society tell me I'm supposed to hate you, but I followed you for years. I think you do great work. Introduce yourself to our American audience.
My name's Tommy Robinson. I'm a journalist and author from the UK. I tell the stories that the government don't want you to see, the problems from mass immigration with open borders. I'm from a town 30 miles north of London. When I was born, there was one mosque. There's now 45. I've seen the attack on freedom. I've seen the cultural change. Right now in Great Britain, we are fighting for our survival. Our country has changed beyond recognition. Our culture is disappearing. I currently am sat here facing a total attack by my government, my media and politicians, full of absolute lies. I faced 2 years in prison for creating a film. Now, the problem they have with me, Charlie, is they don't know how to deal with me, in the sense of I was censored for 5 years. So their solution to the problems we bring about, when I say the problems, an entire generation of British daughters were raped at the hands of Muslim gangs. It was something that the UK calls grooming. They give it a pretty name. I think in India, they call it love jihad. In Holland, they call it lover boys. What that is groups of predominantly Pakistani Muslim men torturing, raping and murdering young English girls. The figures on this are unbelievable. 90% of the convictions for this sort of crime in the UK are by Muslim men. 30% of the men convicted are called Mohammed. Why? Muslim men only make up 2.5% of the UK. Why are they responsible for 90% of these convictions? We're not even allowed to ask that question. In fact, the fact that these gangs were operating in every single town and city across our country was hidden for 30 years. Again, not my opinion. We brought this to the forefront on the streets when I formed an organisation called the English Defence League. Thousands and thousands of English men took to the streets furious about what was being allowed to happen. Then they started making arrests. They started trying to deal with the problem, but only they're not dealing with it properly. And the figures would terrify you. And I'll give them. I've made a 5-part series called The Rape of Britain in a town called Telford. Telford has a 1.7% Muslim population. The police identified 1,000 victims in this small town. Five of them are dead. Five of them were murdered, burned alive and killed. Five of them. Out of that, so in that one small town, the police identified 200 perpetrators. Only 11 were prosecuted, but the police investigation identified 200. There's only 3,500 Muslims in Telford. So out of the 3,500 Muslims, by the time you get rid of the women and the under 16s and the elders, you've got 1,000 Muslim men. 20% of them were raping and torturing young girls in that town. That's how big the problem is. And the problem is you're not allowed to have this discussion and talk about it. So what you're seeing now in the UK, where things are burning, where people are out in the streets, it is a build-up of 10, 20 years of being silenced, being labelled as racist, labelled as far right, made to shut up, scared into silence while your daughter's freedom, your wife's freedom, your mother's freedom to just walk down the street freely has been taken away. There has been, the figures are unbelievable across the country. The hostility And of course, I'm not saying everyone that comes into the country is a problem. In fact, my problem is Islamic immigration, because I see the culture so different because I've grown up around it. That doesn't mean, again, every Muslim's bad. Some of the best people I've met in my hometown of Luton have been Muslim. Some of the people I love are Muslim. Okay? But I separate the people from the idea and the ideology. The ideology brings about oppression, brings about violence, brings about subjugation of non-Muslims. And we have to have the discussion about it, which is what they're trying to silence, which is why they despise me having an account on X that is reaching hundreds of millions of people.
I mean, everything you just said, I have no disagreement. In fact, I have total agreement with. And the only difference between what I do and what you do is, in my country, my government can't put me in jail for making a movie. I mean, they can put me in jail for other stuff, but we still have robust speech protections as it stands right now. The current regime wants to change that. I think that's a very important element as to why the UK has allowed this mass migration to happen without any sort of... There's been some opposition. There's opposition now, but not serious opposition, because of the lack of ability of robust speech protections. Can you tell our audience about the lack of what we would call First Amendment in our country versus in the UK? I'm allowed to say stuff in America that you literally are not allowed to say. You could go to jail.
Charlie, the head of prosecutions has just come out today and said they will prosecute and convict people who share footage of the riots. If the footage they share may incite racial hatred, so if it's footage that may, you will be arrested. They have just arrested more people today for sharing misinformation. For sharing misinformation, for sharing something that might have been wrong, they're being arrested. When it comes to freedom of speech, they're coming for your freedom of speech because they can't get to where they want without taking speech. They've took ours. Don't think we live in a society. We live in a post-free speech era in Europe. There is no freedom of speech. In fact, I believe the only place in the world that still has it is the United States of America because of your constitution. It's the only place. We do not have it. And in fact, do you really have it? Because when big tech totally control,
No, you're right. Of course you're right. I'm just saying, at least we don't have the government's colluding in the background. It's just it's a separation that's a little bit different, but not a lot. If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, is magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powerful. Over 600 critical reactions, including hormone balance, stress management, sleep quality, even digestion, is influenced by the presence of magnesium. There are two big problems here. Magnesium has been largely missing from the U.S. soil since the 1950s, which explains why it's estimated that up to 75% of the population may be deficient. And most supplements contain only one or two forms of magnesium, when in reality your body needs seven. The only magnesium supplement on the market that has full spectrum of all seven forms is called Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. That's why I'm so excited to tell you that I was able to arrange a killer deal for you. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even the company's own website. This deal is exclusively for my audience, and it's a limited time while supplies last. Right now, you can get a whole bottle of Magnesium Breakthrough for free. Go to buyoptimizers.com/Charlie Kirk and get your bottle of Magnesium Breakthrough for free today. Again, that's buyoptimizers.com/Charlie Kirk. Go today. So I want to get to this because I think it's very important, where you talk about the mass Mohammedan invasion of the United Kingdom and the lack of rebellion against that or response against that. Help me understand why that happened, because it's so obviously self-destructive. It's self-evidently suicidal. What went wrong as to why the body politic, the middle class of your once beautiful country, allowed this worldview to capture this once great nation?
It didn't affect the middle class until now. So the middle class didn't care. It affects us, the working class. And the UK is a very classist country, where people who talk like me, who are from education like me, from a poverty background or a town like me, we're supposed to just shut up. And it's our towns and our communities were affected where all these migrants were brought in. And they were brought in originally by the Labour Party, your Democrat Party, to rub the right's nose in it. And basically to replace the working class with loyal voters, because the working class decided to vote Conservative. It's like your Democrats going to Republicans as they become more, as they wanted better and become more successful. So they basically have replaced us with a Muslim community. And again, I'll just talk about my hometown of Luton. What the Labour Council do, your Democrats, they do a deal with the leader of the Council of Mosques. So if they've got 45 mosques, they have one person who brings all those mosques together. They then sit down, and that is a vote bank of 50,000 votes. That is enough to win the election. And what we've just seen, our entire last election was about Gaza. Wasn't about the English girls being raped. Wasn't about all the British pensioners in poverty who can't afford heating. Wasn't about any of these things. A 6% Muslim population dictated the entire nation's political debate because they're so congregated in close-knit communities. So get ready for this, United States of America. Because your borders were open for years to Mexicans, to Hispanic immigration. Since Joe Biden, last 4 years, you've had Pakistani, Somali, Syrian, Iraqi. You have no idea what's coming. Right? With the cultural change, the hostility, the rapes, they need to get really prepared because it happens so quick, so fast. And what you won't be able to understand, which is what I've watched, is the way the council succumbs to them, the way the council just give in, the way the police, and as two-tier police has become part of our language now across the UK, everyone now knows about it. I've been speaking about that for 20 years in my activism, but no one wanted to listen. All the problems I spoke about, no one wanted to listen because they weren't affecting them. Since October 7th, since social media especially, people can now see themselves. So whereas the media, as I said, I was censored totally, deleted. If you search my name on TikTok now, not one single video comes up. If you write my name on Facebook, you get banned. If you write it on Instagram, it gets deleted. That is total control over the narrative so that anyone who counters the government's narrative is silenced. X has really thrown a spanner in the works for them. The latest film I've just made, Charlie, called Silence, it is far bigger than me, so I advise every American to watch it. It is exactly what they've done to Donald Trump. It's what's happened to Steve Bannon. It's the billion-pound fine to Alex Jones. It's going on around across Europe. Anyone who gets in the way of the narrative, whether it be United Nations, World Economic Forum, any of these issues, is attacked with the court system. It's the politicization and the weaponization of the judiciary. I made a documentary, Charlie, where 3 years ago I was given a gagging order. Everything in the documentary is factual. They don't argue with that. They're not arguing that it's not true, but they don't want the public to see it because it has the power. And they said it wasn't in the public's interest. In 8 days, 39 million people have watched that documentary. That is why currently now I am facing attack from absolutely everywhere. I've got people sitting, politicians, sitting on news channels every morning for the last 3 or 4 days. I have been the topic of conversation on every TV channel in my country, spouting absolute lies about me. Lies because I've made a documentary which totally humiliates the judiciary. Now, what they've done, they give me a gagging order, and I failed myself as a journalist, I failed myself as an Englishman, because I allowed them to gag me, because I was scared, because I was told I'll get 2 years in prison if I show anyone the evidence. Now, for 3 years, that ate me up inside. I failed. And on the 27th of July, Great Britain was on the verge of a cultural revolution. Now, the world was watching us on the 1st of June. 1 million people watched us live on X and 30,000 people joined us on the street. By the 27th of July, 100,000 people joined us in a total peaceful celebration of British identity and to send a message to the establishment, it's David versus Goliath and David's ready to fight back. Not fight physically, but we've had enough. You are not doing this anymore. We're not being silenced. We are not shutting up. We're not backing down from this. It's our country. There's 1,000 years of English history here. You're not giving it away in 67
well,
years.
Yes, and it's also the tradition that built the West. America is not America without England, period. America is a transference of the best of England. And yes, we had a revolution, but in some ways we're still sister countries. And we brought English common law and separation of powers and this idea of natural rights. We didn't just come out of that ex nihilo. It is an inheritance that we derived from your country. From the Magna Carta to the Declaration to the Constitution. But you're always welcome here. I want you to know that. And there is a response happening in the United States against the censorship. We have Rumble. We have Real America's Voice, of people that really want to get this message out. And I hope everyone understands Tommy is warning you about mass migration. It will destroy the West. It's destroying the West. And Europe is a husk of its former self because of it. And it's coming for America in real time. So, Tommy, the only difference between America and the UK when it comes to mass migration is that you've been bringing in a bunch of Muhammads and we've been bringing in a bunch of Miguels and Manuels. And in some ways, that's been our saving grace. Again, we have a lot of problems with mass migration, our foreign invasion. But the Latino-Hispanic invasion, at the very least, are more Christian than not. But it's still just creating a lot of issues. Is there something specific about the Mohammedans and what they've done to your country that makes this a greater existential threat than what we're experiencing in America?
We have 40,000 British Muslims on a terror watch list. 40,000. We only have 80,000 members of our armed forces. Now, the Islamic community, when we had the bombing of the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, I looked at Manchester specifically, looked at the extremism, terrorism, jihadism, all the different groups. And when I looked at it, I saw the Muslim community. And it went from 25,000 to 50,000 over 10 years. 10 years later, it went from 50,000 to 100,000. 10 years later, 100,000 to 200,000. You see where it's going. It's doubled every 10 years. There's only 500,000 people in that city. It's gone within a generation. Gone. Gone forever. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem with it, and I can speak from experience, I'm from Luton Town. Luton Town is one of the most diverse towns in Europe. Most people are sons of immigrants. My mum was an Irish immigrant. All of my friends, St. Lucian, Bulgarian, Italian, all sons of immigrants. Everyone gets along well. Everyone integrates. The black community integrated, the Jewish community integrated, the Sikhs, the Hindus. There's one community that there's zero assimilation and zero integration. Literally, I challenge any journalist that comes from my hometown through my years of activism. I say, go into that town and find me one group of Muslims that are with a non-Muslim, unless they're selling them drugs. Just find me one. You will not find one. It's them and it's us. When I went to school, Charlie, Muslim playground, non-Muslim playground. We didn't create that as children. I never understood it. Until I dissected the Quran and understood the teachings of Islam. I was doing 22 weeks of solitary confinement. I opened up the book and I started going through it. And I challenge anyone to do this. Every time it says, do not be friends with Christian or Jews, just write the verse number. And you will see you'll have pages and pages. If you bring up children from the age of 3 or 4 and you indoctrinate them daily within a mosque or madrasa, not to be friends with Christians or Jews because you are superior to them, that will create a ghetto, which is what we have, with zero integration, and not just zero integration, but general hostility, because they view us as inferior. They view us as cattle. That's not me doing that. We haven't done that. So every other community's come, and 40,000 terrorists on the terror watch list, 3,000 of them are monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at a cost of £9 billion a year. All these problems already, if you look at the two-tier policing, this week we've seen riots across our country, gangs of Muslims with swords, hammers, axes. The police stayed away. The police didn't go near them. They already now, at 6%, 5%, 6% of the UK, the police can't police them. They're too scared to police them. They don't know what to do. They're more violent. They're more hostile. Whilst all of our youth are cutting off their boobs or cutting off their penises, dyeing their hair blue and turning to LGBTQ+, they're militarised. They're militarised. They are winning the streets. They are controlling the streets in the UK. They're controlling the prisons. The prison systems are like ISIS training camps. And to try and talk about this, if you just try and look at it, you call far right or extremist or racist. Now, that worked for years. The government had everyone silent. It doesn't work anymore. We saw that on the 27th of July when 100,000 British people, the largest gathering of patriots this country's ever seen, come out into London to celebrate our culture and to tell them we've had enough. Now, since that day, Charlie, I left the country the next day. In fact, when I went to leave the country, I was detained under terrorism legislation. When I got to the border, and when you want to understand, like the Patriot Law, they bring in these laws to deal with the terrorists and the extremists. They will use them against you. You're the target, not the extremists. You're the target. You speak up. You want to preserve Christian culture in your country. You want safety for your women. You're the target. You need to just shut up and let them do what they're doing, which is flood this nation, destroy our culture, break down our community, break down the family. It's a total attack on our family. All of these things are part of the same jigsaw. They all come together. It's all working against the interests of the British people, against the interests of the American people. No one can say you're open borders. And you're right, we had Mohammedans. You've had Mohammedans for the last 4 years. I've been looking at the numbers, the figures, who's coming to the United States. It's no longer just Mexicans. You are being flooded.
No, that is correct. No, you're right. That's right. No, it's just not at the same scale that we've been seeing in your home country. Tommy, is there enough interest, desire, energy, gusto within the British middle class to stop this for good?
The country's awake, Charlie. I've been in this activism for 15 years. I've been downtrodden. I felt defeated at times. I felt, what's going to happen? I've never felt as electric as I do now because everything's changed. The public are awake. I can't walk down the street anymore. They try and portray me as the most hated man. People don't just come up to me and say, hello, Tommy. They embrace me. They hug me because they see when they're hitting me, they're trying to hit them. When they're silencing me, it's to silence them. They want to set an example because they can't allow it. So they have to take someone like me who speaks up and they have to publicly destroy them. And that's what they've done to any voices like us. They have to because they want to send a message to everyone else. The problem they've got is my voice is louder now than it's ever been. I've got more credibility as a journalist than any of them. Their investigations do not compete to ours. I've exposed the BBC Panorama programme like no other. Hope Not Hate, which is your equivalent of Media Matters. I absolutely destroyed them with a documentary. My latest documentary, which I've spoke about, which they're going to imprison me, Charlie. I already know they're going to imprison me for that film. But I'm not going to go down quietly. I will go into the court and tell them. But the judge, you think you're going to be remembered. You're the most senior judge in a High Court of London. You think your legacy would have been to be the most senior judge in the High Court of London. Your legacy is a corrupt judge. That's your legacy. Because now the public are watching. 40 million people, by the time they get me in prison, 50, 60, 70. I urge everyone in America, go to my Twitter handle, @TRobinsonNewEra. Watch that film, share it. Because it's not just about Great Britain. They're doing it to you. It's about how they're going to silence everyone. If censorship doesn't work, then they bring in the court system. They go bring in the tax. They bring in everything. They find any way to destroy you from every single angle. And whilst the public now, I'm excited because the public are awake, I felt under attack for years. I've never felt under attack as I do now for the last 7 days. So I expect they're coming for me in a major way. I expect to be put in prison. But at the same time, I'm 15 years into my activism. I love my country. You put me in jail, you're going to galvanise this movement like never before. You are going to see the public on the streets like never before. So I've had the opportunity multiple times. At the start of this court case, they bankrupt me for £1.6 million. That's what the film's about. I proved with the film the entire story was a lie. They fabricated the entire story. Then they used the court. They threatened me. They blackmailed me. They targeted. They paid people not to tell the truth. I got it all on covert recordings. The film destroys the credibility of the judiciary. I'm not on trial. So I face court on the 28th, 29th of October. I face prison. I'm not on trial. They are. I've put them on trial to the entire world. I screened this film that I'm not allowed to screen, and it took 3 years, and I was scared doing it. I'm still worried now. I screened it to 100,000 British people to say, here's what they're doing. If we allow them to gag us, if we allow them to censor us, if we allow them to take our speech, we've lost this fight already. Our speech is the most important battle, and thank you to Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is still allowing the public to hear this. They're allowing us to have this conversation. If the elitists had their way, if our government had their way, no one would even be able to hear what I say. And for 5 years, they were able to tell people who I am. That's why they made me toxic. They just lie. These last 7 days, luckily, because my reach, I think it's 50 million people a day are reading my messages. But the public know I haven't incited hate. They know all I've done is the total opposite. Since these troubles started, I've made video after video saying, remain calm, stop violence. Violence is never going to get us where we need to be. It's not going to work. You're going to go to jail. Stop burning things. Stop innocent police officers, hardworking men are going out and coming under hostile attack. Stop it. You're better than that. So I've called for peace, and they're sitting on every TV channel saying I've instigated the violence. And it's insane. But the public, luckily, due to X, they're able to see that. I made a video showing this. It's on 7 million views. So they're not able to lie the way they were. They're not able to control the narrative the way they were. And that's why now they're lining up Elon Musk. They're putting the target on him. Our government are saying he's one of the most dangerous men on the planet. One of the most dangerous men, because what will bring them down? Free speech. Free speech will bring them down.
Tommy Robinson, excellent work. We have your back, and we will hope to have you on soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.